Thank you for listening to our Bayshore Rehoboth podcast. We always love to hear stories about how Bayshore is helping to have an impact in your life. We would love for you to take just a moment and send us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. Also, be sure to stop by our website at bayshorecc.org to find out all kinds of information, including past messages, videos, pictures, links to social media, and an opportunity to give online. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hey, how's everybody feeling? Y'all feeling good? You feeling good? Yeah, I like that right there. Okay, let's do this. How are you guys feeling? Okay, there we go. It's good. Listen, I am feeling great because the band opened up today with The Power of Love by Huey Lewis and the News from the greatest 80s movie of all time, Back to the Future. Come on, church. Woo! Anybody else like in the Back to the Future? Anybody else like DeLoreans, flux capacitors? Yes. I got to watch it this afternoon. We're watching it this afternoon, baby. We got to watch Back to the Future. But as great as that opener was, what's even better is singing songs together about Jesus with you all. I mean, we got to sing a hymn together. Listen, if you're grateful for an old hymn every once in a while and for our unbelievable band just like bringing it every Sunday, can you just give it up for them and for Jesus? I mean, come on. You guys are awesome. I love it. Love it. Well, hey, if you are new here, then we probably haven't met. And my name is Joel, and I am one of the people on our team around here. And we are so pumped that you are in our basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds weirder when I say it than what it like thought in my mind. Anyway, if you're new, seriously, we are so glad that you're hanging out with us. And we're also so glad our online family is hanging out with us, whether you're watching or whether you're listening, however you're coming to us. And it's crazy, guys. The last 3 weeks in a row, I have randomly just had people come up to me while I've been out, and they said, oh, hey, you're Joel. We watch on Facebook. Which is weird, okay? And like the last time it happened, which was last Saturday, you know, they were like, oh, hey, we listen to the podcast. Stacy said to me, she was like, you're like a public figure now, Joel. You're like Oprah. Oprah, you get a free car. No, I'm just kidding. But what's cool is the reach. I mean, that's what's cool about this whole thing with our online family. And so we have a bunch of people watching us right now and listening to us. And so on three, let's just all say together, what's up, online family? What's up, online family? Here we go. One, two, three. What's up, online family? Yes, it's awesome. Love it. All right, so we are in this series called Hashtag Relationship Goals. And so if you're new with us, or maybe you've like missed the last four-ish weeks, you're a regular, but you missed the last four-ish weeks, you've been going pretty hard on the Bedside Baptist situation, okay? No judgment. Weekends get crazy. I get it. But let me kind of catch you up real quick. We've been just taking one goal each week and talking about how to apply it to our relationships. And so we've talked about togetherness, we've talked about kindness, we've talked about focusing on we, not me. And today is all about love. Everybody say love. Oh, that's good. You're in it. All right. So speaking of love, I thought I'd start out today by telling you how me and my bride, me and my wife, we met, sort of our love story, if you will. And so like if you're married and you're sitting next to your boo, you can maybe like nuzzle up to them. If you're single, but the person you're sitting next to is kind of cute, it's up to you, buddy. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do in that situation. But the first time I saw my wife was in October of 2002. And it was because a buddy named Matt, a buddy of mine, he had invited me to go to Frightland with him and some of his coworkers and some of his friends. And if you don't know what Frightland is, it's just this scary field in Middletown. With a Ferris wheel and some haunted hayrides. I know, like some of you are thinking, like, there's gonna be a romantic backdrop to this story, you know, like a, you know, Ed Sheeran song or something. No. This is a real life love story, you guys. We were at Frightland. And so I pulled up to this house in Georgetown in my 1989 Honda Accord with a rusted outside panel and a pop up headlight that would not pop up. And I pulled up to this house, and out from the front door walks this beautiful girl, and she's wearing a maroon Salisbury University sweatshirt. And all of a sudden, inside of me, I was like, oh. And listen, I had like imaginations in that moment, okay? I was imagining like I was going to be Bradley Cooper. She was going to be Lady Gaga. We were going to sing a song at the Oscars, and our foreheads would touch for like 7 minutes in a row. Like, I had these visions, okay? But then there was a small problem, okay? Because I was love struck in my car, my rusted out car. There was one problem. I realized the shirt that I was wearing was a white Dickies pocket t-shirt. Now, just so you know, in 2002, that was the only type of t-shirt I owned. No lie, in every different color, I own white pocket Dickies pocket t-shirts. And that seemed like a great idea until Stacy walks out looking all hot like fire. And I'm rocking a $3 t-shirt. And so that's when I knew I needed to bust out my best move. Okay, like a pastor move, you guys, okay? So we get up to Freightland, and my best move was, I was like, hey, you want to ride that Ferris wheel with me? And listen, my thought on that was, if I can just get her in the Ferris wheel, then like when we're 30 feet in the air, she can't run away from me. This is good. And so anyway, we get on this Ferris wheel, and I'm too nervous to talk. And so the entire time, instead of talking, I just like side-eyed her. The entire time, you guys. So listen, just picture this. We're in a scary field in Middletown on a Ferris wheel. Going round and round. I'm not talking. She's not talking. I'm wearing a weird t-shirt. And the only thing I'm doing is going. I was love struck, you guys. It was great, all right? Now, Stacy's memory of the situation is a little bit different than mine. And she claims she was not love struck for me or the Dickies pocket t-shirt that night. In fact, I asked her on a Sunday, this past Sunday, I asked her, like, what do you remember from that night? And do you want to hear what she said? Because I literally wrote it down right after she said it. Okay, let's put this on the screen. Here we go. Me. I did. I wrote this down. I said, hey, honey, what do you remember about the first night we met? She said, what, at the haunted place? I said, yeah. She said, well, I think you were wearing a white shirt. Yeah, I definitely was. It was my white Dickies pocket shirt. She said, yeah, that's the one. I didn't really think it was that cool. Oh, not excited, okay? And then she said, yeah, I thought you were pretty weird, actually. I didn't pay much attention to you. I remember when we rode the Ferris wheel, you seemed nervous and just looked at me. It was weird. Then here's my favorite part, or least, okay? I don't know. Do you want me to say you were dreamy or something? Yeah, I'll take dreamy. Like, that would be good. Like, in other news, my self-esteem is struggling. But don't let her fool you, all right? Because 2 weeks later, guess who's lighting up my phone asking me out on a date? Because your pastor has some moves. Get yourself a Dickies pocket t-shirt, fellas. But we were both love struck at the same time eventually, which was good. And we felt what we all feel when we fall in love. We felt the power of love. We felt the butterflies. Now, you guys know, you know about the butterflies, right? You know about the butterflies? It's those first few months, those first few days when you still think they're perfect. And they still think you're perfect. They don't know about your pocket t-shirt collection yet. They don't know about your toenail situation yet. It gets real. But at first, okay, there's just like, there's love notes. There's long walks on the beach. There's edible arrangements. Nothing says you feel like you're in love like a $79.99 cantaloupe carved into a heart. You know what I'm saying? But you don't care because you feel love. If you know about the butterflies, just say, heart flutters. Good, that's good. You guys know, you lots of edible arrangements. You guys are in this, okay? But and so like when we feel in love, it's a little bit like this right here. This is what it feels like going on inside of us, okay? When we feel in love, whoo! Do you feel that? Oh man, like it's just going on inside of us. And listen, in that on that Ferris wheel, I was like, "Woo, this is going on." I was like, "Woo," you know, like. And I was excited. Stacy was just looking for the emergency exit, but my butterflies were gone, you know. And when the butterflies are gone, you change. You're happy. You're like walking on a cloud. You're like putting up Facebook posts with all these unnecessary emojis that make the rest of us gag a little bit, you know. And like you change. I remember when like Bo and I were in eighth grade together. And Bo and I, we were close friends, man. We used to play soccer together. And in eighth grade, we played the Sega Genesis together. We would sit at the guy's table for lunch. And if he had an extra tasty cake, he'd give the tasty cake to me. It was great. But then one day, this girl, Katie Tall, showed up. And all of a sudden, Bo was like, "Oh, yeah." And Bo moved to the girls' table. And he started sitting next to Katie. And when he had an extra tasty cake, I didn't get it no more. Katie got the extra tasty cake. And 22 years later and five kids later, I think it's safe to say, the butterflies and the birds and bees, they've all been flying in that situation. But isn't it true that at first we think, it's always going to feel like this? Isn't that true? Oh, this is always going to feel like this. But guys, sometimes the power of love starts to lose power, right? Sometimes the butterfly and the butterfly isn't flying anymore. Sometimes a butterfly dies in a relationship, guys. You know what I'm talking about? Aren't you glad you came to church today? Like, the butterflies die. But listen, what do we do when the butterflies aren't flying around anymore? What do we do when we don't feel love like we used to feel it? And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. This can happen in friendships. This can happen in family relationships. This can happen with your kids. Hello. Because at first, when your kids are, the butterfly is gone when your kids are born. You will wake up 18 times a night for a year straight, right? You'll do anything for them. The butterfly is rolling, man. But sometimes that changes. The butterfly's not always fine with the kids. Like, for instance, this past week, my daughter Nora asked my wife Stacy if she could have Stacy's last sip of her Wawa green tea. And Stacy loves Nora. She gave birth to Nora. But Stacy also loves Wawa green tea. And she was like, "Baby, I love you, but you can't have the last drink of my Wawa green tea." And so sometimes, like we have parents, we always love our kids, but sometimes the butterflies, they're not flying like they used to fly. It changes. If you got teenagers, just say, "Preach it, brother." You know it. And so what do we do when the feelings of love for our families, for our friends, for our, you know, husbands, wives, you know, you name it, what do we do when that starts to like fade away? And you know what I've noticed? If we don't feel love, the butterflies, then we don't act love. And if we don't act love, then we don't feel love. And if we don't feel love, then we don't act love. If we don't act love, we don't feel love. And it's just like, you know, loveless cycle. And so what do we do? Well, Jesus said something a lot of times in here. In fact, this week I counted him saying this over 10 times that I could find. And it's one of the most famous things he said. And if you know this, you probably do. Just kind of help fill in the blank as we put this on the screen. Jesus said over 10 times, "Love your..." Oh, Nate, you all have heard this too. Love your neighbor. Does it say anything about feelings? No, it just says love your neighbor. Love one another. Over 10 times you find this, Jesus saying this. You think it's important to him? And this is interesting. Jesus doesn't suggest that we love our neighbor. He commands us to love our neighbor. Now, what's interesting is it's really hard to command an emotion, right? I mean, that's right. But it makes way more sense to command an action. And so, you know, in our culture, man, we are all about the feelings, the emotions. And if, like, in our culture, in our world, like, if you feel the emotions, we're like, you need to act on that, man. You go to edible arrangements, right? But in our culture, if we don't feel it, we're like, well, no action necessary, right? And so here's today's relationship goal. If you're taking notes, it's this. You got to put love into action even when the butterflies aren't all that active. Put love into action even when your butterflies aren't very active. Because we all know that when we feel love, when we feel the butterflies, man, it is easy to put love into action. The problem is when you don't feel the love. Now, speaking of love, and you guys still all have your pens out because you wrote your first note on that one. We got another one, okay? Let's define love. Love is a feeling sometimes. On a Ferris wheel, it's a feeling. Love is a feeling sometimes, but it is an action all the time. Love's a feeling sometimes and an action all the time. The way that I and you and you and we love is to put our love into action in relationships, even if we don't feel the butterflies in the relationship. It doesn't matter if this is a romantic relationship or a friendship or a relationship with, you know, family members. Put love into action, even if you don't feel the butterflies. Now, why in the world will we do this? Because when we put love into action, it keeps love alive even when the butterflies are dead. When you put love into action, okay, we put love into action so that the love stays alive even when the butterflies are dead. And so love is a feeling sometimes and an action all the time. So if you brought your Bible, head on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to look at the most famous passage on love in any book of all time. Okay, and so this is 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to be reading out of one of the orange Bibles that we give away here. And if you don't have a Bible, or you know, maybe you don't have a smartphone, and if you don't have a smartphone to look, like, you are smarter than the rest of us, right? But if you don't have a Bible, and you know, you don't have any money, and you've been thinking about stealing one from Walmart or something, okay, don't do that. Don't go to jail for stealing a Bible. Okay, we have Bibles out there. They are free. Free, not like free 99. They are literally free, okay? So grab yourself a Bible when you walk out, but in the meantime, just look at the screen, and here's what Paul says. He says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, okay, if I could say anything, everybody say, I can say anything. You shouldn't say anything, but you can say anything. If I could say anything, he says, but didn't love others, I will be a noisy gong, or what am I if I don't love? A clanging cymbal. A clanging cymbal. Okay, now, no offense to Bing who played the drums this morning, okay, but when you see clanging cymbal, okay, let's just all say annoying. Yeah, clanging cymbal, a little bit annoying sometimes. Not when our drummers are drumming, but listen, it's a little bit of annoying. Now, the point Paul's trying to make is he's saying, hey, you can say anything, but if you don't put love into action, then it's just kind of like a clanging cymbal. But you can say anything. Now, speaking of Say Anything, you guys remember the movie from the 80s? You remember the movie Say Anything? Who remembers the Say Anything movie from the 80s? John Cusack? Okay, I think we have a picture of it because, like, you know, like 10 people in the room remember. Oh, yeah. Look, do me a favor. Everybody just do your best John Cusack impression right now. Hold up the speakers. Well, that's good. That's good. Okay, listen, what is this? This is putting love into action, baby. In this picture, John Cusack, he is putting love into action. And so Paul's like, listen, you can say anything, but if you don't put love in action, then it's just kind of like a noisy cymbal. It doesn't really make any sense. And what I've noticed is if you act like love acts, John Cusack, then you'll start to feel like love feels. If you act like love acts, you'll start to feel like love feels. In other words, when the relationship is new, you have feelings, and so feelings lead to action. But when the relationship's not so new, actions lead to feelings. So when it's new, feelings lead to action. But when it's not so new in the relationship, action leads to feelings. And so in our relationships, whether the butterflies are flying or not, if we'll just love like love acts, eventually, the butterflies will start flying again. I love this thing, okay? I'm into this thing right here. And so how do we get the butterflies moving again in our life? That's what we're going to talk about. And don't worry, like I didn't just get started. We're like halfway through this thing. But love in action. Love in action, number one, is this. How do we put love in action? Number one, love in action speaks with love. It speaks with love. So last Sunday night, I was thinking about this message. And so I went up to Stacy and I was like, hey, baby, honey bunches. I was like, you guys are like, where's he going with this? I got kids in here. Don't worry. I was like, are there any like topics or subjects where I don't like speak all that loving to you about? And I was imagining she was going to be like, no. You're like an Ed Sheeran lyric. You are perfect just the way you are. Yeah, that's not what happened. She's like, oh, I got all kinds of examples. How much time you got? It's like, it seems like you've been ready for this question. Like, I'm nervous now. And she said, well, first off, you're not very kind about my robe. And I was like, I do hate that robe. Now, let me explain about the robe situation, okay? Like, Stacy's robe, it's not like a robe. It's like a Aunt Bee would wear this robe, you guys. It is beyond full coverage. It's 110% coverage, all right? Like, and the robe comes on in October, and it doesn't come off until May. 8 months in a row, guys, like of this robe. And listen, all right, the robe, it has stains on it. It has two pockets. Only one of the pockets work. I'll explain the second pocket in a second. Okay. But the one pocket, it's full of like toenail clippers. And, yeah, and then like chapstick and dirty old tissues. The other pocket, it's ripped. It's been so used. Okay, it's ripped, and it just hangs there like a dead squirrel. 8 months. I hate this robe, okay? 8 months. And it gets worse because not only does Stacy get in this robe, she gets her dog Eli, and she puts Eli inside of the robe, cinches it up, and she walks around with Eli, his head out of the robe. You don't believe me? I have a picture, all right? I have a picture. Don't encourage it. Just stop it, okay? Like, I love my wife. I can't believe she lets me share this stuff. Anyway, but I'm a little unkind about the robe. Like, I would like to throw it in the garbage disposal. Like, if that's a thing, just, like, put the whole thing in the garbage disposal. So she's like, yeah, you're unkind about my robe. She said, you were unkind about my lasagna in your message last weekend. And then she said, you're unkind when you find new dents in our minivan. I was like, are there new dents in the van? But it hit me as we're talking. I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize. Like, I thought I was pretty nice about a lot of these things. And then I'm like, baby, I'm sorry. I'm going to do better to, like, speak better words. And listen, in our relationships, we say all kinds of things. And a lot of them aren't that loving, right? They come out in all sorts of other ways than being loving. And so what can happen in any relationship is we can say all sorts of unloving things, and we don't see it, but other people do. Other people see it. In fact, there are some marital therapists who they claim that they can watch a couple, a married couple, interact for 30 minutes talking to each other, and with 90% accuracy, they can predict whether or not that couple is going to make it. Just by watching the couple talk to each other for 30 minutes. Just that's crazy, right? And so Paul's like, listen, you can say anything, but if you don't love others, and in other words, if you don't speak with love, then you're just kind of like a clanging cymbal, a crashing cymbal. Now, have you noticed that when a cymbal is crashing, it drives everybody away except for the person who's hitting the cymbal? I know this because I brought my boys' drum set here today. Now, here's the thing. I thought it would be a brilliant idea to get Nixon this drum set for his birthday this year and to set it up in our 1,500 square foot house that has such paper thin walls that you can hear a mouse toot on the other side of the house. We get Nixon a drum set, okay? And he loves his drum set and he plays one song. You guys ready for Nixon's song?
Yeah.
He wrote it, okay? Here it is. I can do it again. You want to play again? No, all right, I'm sorry. I won't do that to you guys again. But when Nixon's playing his one song on the cymbal, okay, he doesn't realize it. He loves it. I mean, this is great to him. Okay, the rest of the family, we are running away. We're like closing the playroom door. Nora, my daughter's crying. The rest of the family, it's like in the corner on the opposite side of the house. I think butterflies are literally dying on the outside of the windows of the house. Like, but he doesn't realize it, that he's driving everybody away. And he's just like, he's just, bah, 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 bah. And I do. I really love watching him play. But the cymbal, whoo, it can get to your ears a little bit. And don't miss this, okay? When we don't speak with love in our relationships, it can drive everyone else away. And we don't even realize it. We're just sitting there just hitting the cymbal. And so that's why it's so important to speak with love in our relationships. That's why it's so important to ask that question that I asked to Stacy, like, hey, are there any topics or any subjects where I don't speak all that kind to you? Now, if you ask that question, get ready for some answers. You're going to get some answers. But it's a good question to ask. If you're a teenager in the room, that's a great question to ask your parents. Seriously. Like, hey, mom and dad, are there any like areas where if you bring something up to me, like I don't speak all that kind to you about? Now listen, no teenager in the world wants to ask that question. I get that. But listen, asking that question is a way that teenagers can honor your parents. And teenagers, when you honor your parents, God honors you. And when God honors you, your parents are honoring you. And it's like this honor cycle. It's good. But the point of all this is kind words, they pull people in. They attract people. But unkind words drive people away. And you might say, well, Joe, I don't always feel like speaking words with love. We all get that, don't we? But love is a feeling sometimes, but an action all the time. And if we'll act like love acts, then we'll start to feel like love feels. And so you put love into action even when the butterflies aren't very active, and eventually, woo, they start flying around. It's good. And so just say this with me. I'm going to speak with love, not with symbols. I'm going to speak with love, not with symbols. That's good. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 2, Paul says this. He says, if I speak, and so we're talking about our words here, if I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love or speak with love, I'm what? I'm nothing. And so let me break this down for you. Paul's saying, look, you can be super spiritual. You can have the biggest Bible in the room. You can be the pastor of a church in a basement. But if you don't love, then it's all for nothing. It's all a waste. Love is the difference maker in relationships. Love is the difference maker in our faith. Can I go on a 1-minute rabbit trail? Let me go on a 1-minute rabbit trail. Okay. So Paul is saying our faith without love is nothing, right? Faith without love is nothing. And you know what? Some of the most loving, kind, gracious, happy people I've ever met in my life are Jesus followers. In fact, it's a lot of you guys, okay? But at the same time, some of the most unloving, unkind, hate-filled, non-forgiving people I've ever met in my life are Jesus followers. And Paul's like, man, it shouldn't be like that. And so you just need to know this about this place, okay? Just look around. Look at our church. Look around. This is a place of faith, but this is also a place of love. Those two things will not exist apart. They will not exist apart in here. So if you're here and you don't have faith and you're not sure if you believe all this, you just need to know this. You're always going to be met with love here because that's the Jesus way. That's the Bayshore way. And so that power of love, that's what's changed my life. That's what's changed the 300 plus people who have raised their hand in this room and said, hey, I'm going to become a Jesus follower because I've experienced the power of love in here. That's what's changed 102 people who have gone right over here and said, listen, I've experienced the power of love. I'm going to get baptized and I'm a Jesus follower. Like, it's all about love. And if faith without love is nothing, then faith with love is everything. That gets my butterfly. Like, come on. If faith without love is nothing, then faith with love is everything. So it's about love here, okay? Just so you know, it's about love. And it should be about love in our relationships. We got to speak with love, and we have to speak with love in the church, too. And so love in action speaks with love. I'm going to turn off my little butterfly here. I need batteries for later today. I'm just going to look at that thing. Okay. The next thing is this. Love in action gives with a heart of love. Love in action speaks with love. Love in action gives with a heart of love. So in our house, 8 o'clock is a great time to be alive. 8 at night. I look forward to 8 o'clock at night all day long. Now, let me explain why. All right, my day starts at 6 a.m., okay? And for 14 hours, it is go. Go get the kids ready. Go get their breakfast. Get them in the car so they can go to daycare. Okay, go to work. You know, go to the gym. Some of you are like, he goes to the gym. He's not very muscular. Could you imagine how unmuscular I would be if I didn't go to the gym? Anyway, but go to the gym, you know, come home, pay bills, you know, do the dishwasher, you know, feed Eli, make comments about the robe, you know, all this stuff, you know. 14 hours go, but at 8 o'clock for one glorious hour, me and Stacy, we get to sit on the couch together. And it is great, okay? Like, she's in her robe. Eli's head is poking out. I'm watching some YouTube video, and as soon as we sit down, Stacy, she'll start to, like, get close to me. And I'm like, oh, all right. And then she'll start to turn away from me. I'm like, this is okay. And then she'll say, honey, would you like to scratch my back? Now, my first thought is, I can't get to your back. All this road material has been in the way since October. Like, I just too much material. Now, I don't say that. We're speaking with love, guys. Okay. But the second thing that comes to my mind is I got two options here. I can either say, yes, baby, I've been waiting 14 hours for you to ask me to rub your back. Or I can say, I guess I'll rub your back. And have a bad attitude about it. Now, you know what I've noticed? If I say, oh, I guess I'll rub your back, and then I rub her back, I don't get any points. Same effort, no points. It all comes down to attitude. But if I'm like, oh, baby, there's nothing I'd rather do than rub your back right now, I get points. Heart flutters, okay, but if I have the wrong attitude, there are no heart flutters. And my chance for the next heart flutter is at 8 o'clock the next day. Man in the room, if you get this, just give me a little pinky. It's safe if you give me the pinky. Come on. Oh, yeah. A lot of pinkies there, man. Okay. Well, listen, in a relationship, you know, it all comes down to attitude. And so in a relationship, we can give everything, but if we don't have the right attitude, they will know. There will be no points awarded, right? And so the point is, okay, love and relationships work best when we really have a how can I serve you attitude. How can I serve you? Because otherwise, we can give everything, and it doesn't matter at all. Look at what Paul says next in verse 3. He says, if I gave everything, all my effort, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, in other words, if my attitude wasn't right, if it wasn't genuine, I would have gained nothing. Everybody say, no points. No points. And so sometimes we give in our relationships, but we just are doing it because we want to look good. Or we have ulterior motives. Or, you know, we just like want to do it, but we're gonna like grunt the whole time, I don't really want to do this, you know? And Paul's like, I mean, you can give like that, but you're not gonna gain anything in a relationship. Love in action is when you give with a heart of love. And so here's a tip, okay? If you're trying to give but you have the wrong attitude, which will happen. Or if you're trying to give and man, you're like trying to get 1 point, which by the way, there's never more than 1 point on offer. Just one or none, okay? Like just one or none, okay? But if your intention is that, listen, you gotta reprogram yourself and you need to just start telling yourself, oh, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. And listen, fake it until you make it. Just act like you love it. And if you act like love acts, you'll start to feel like love feels. Act like love acts, you'll start to feel like love feels. Now, why in the world would we go through all this trouble? Because Jesus is the one who 10 times said, love your neighbor, love one another, love your wife, love giving her that back rub. I'm giving you a back rub tonight, honey. Love your husbands, love your kids, love your friends, love your family, love that person in the cul-de-sac you're not really sure about, okay? Like, love your neighbors. By putting it into action. And listen, when you put your love into action, even when you don't really want to give with a heart of love, eventually these butterflies, they can start flying. They can start fluttering. And the people in your life that you're in relationship with, they will notice. If your like attitude changes, they might be like freaked out about it. They might be like, well, what's wrong with Bob? Like, is this an act? Like, are you putting me on, Bob? Like, what's going on here? And speaking of like being genuine, I a few weeks ago, my brother and I, we went to Panera Bread to eat lunch. And my brother said to me, he's like, hey, I'm going to recommend a movie to you, but you're going to think this is really weird. I'm like, I'm not going to think it's weird. What is it? He said, you need to watch Won't You Be My Neighbor? It's a documentary on Mr. Rogers. And my first thought was, are we that old now that we eat lunch at the Panera Bread and we talk about documentaries? Like, are we there? But how many of you've seen this movie, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Who's seen this movie? Oh, like hardly, like 10 people, maybe, okay. But you 10 people, you know, this movie is great. We watched it this week. It is amazing. And here's the thing. I've always thought, this guy is an actor. Like, there is no way the guy who would come out and say, you know, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Like, that can't be real. Like, that's got to be an act. But then they interview all his family and his wife and his kids and like, all the people who put the show on with him. They're like, oh, no, that's a real Mr. Rogers. Like, that's how he really was. Like, he was all about love. And they all loved him. And like, at the end of the documentary, like, I loved him. I'm crying. Stacy's crying. I'm asking for tissues out of that pocket in the robe. Like, But he was all about love. And how did he end his shows? He would normally say, "You're special, just the way you are. You're loved, just the way you are." And he was all about love. I don't know if you know this, but he weighed 143 pounds for his entire adult life on purpose. And the reason he weighed 143 pounds is because that number was symbolic to him, okay? Like, for him, one in 143, the one was one letter, stood for I. Four letters stood for love. Three letters stood for you. And so, I love you. And so, he on purpose will weigh 143 pounds every day so he can get on a scale and he'd see 143 and he'd be like, "Oh, I love you." Which, that is weird. I mean, come on, that's a little weird. But he was all about love. And when he would say, "You're special just the way you are," I mean, I believed it at 6. I still believed it at 36 when we watched it this week. Mr. Rogers, man. And he was an ordained pastor. And his whole goal in life was to help kids to see that they were loved just the way they were. And at the end of the documentary, he does this cool thing. There's this video of him, and he says, I just want you to think about, just visualize that person who's shown you love. Just visualize that person who smiled over you and put a smile on your face. Visualize that person who's shown you unconditional love. Just think about that person for a moment, because there's power in that love right there. And so, we're crying. Immediately, I think about my parents, and my mom is, like, awesome. She has been so loving to me in my life. Like, a few weeks ago, I was sick. And my mom, she like comes in that night over to our house. She busts in. She's got 2 entire chickens. She has macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes, an entire chocolate pie. And she's like, "I brought dinner." And I'm like, I don't even know if I feel like eating dinner, especially 17,000 calories right now. Like, she's like, "You look thin. You need to eat." And I'm like, "I'm 36 years old." You're right, Mom. I'm going to eat, okay, because you brought it, okay? And so like, she just shows me love all the time. In fact, every Sunday before I get up on this stage, I get a text message from my mom. And she tells me that she's been praying for me, and she normally sends me a verse. And so, last Sunday, here's what she sent me last Sunday. She said, well, we're talking about emergency, because that's what you do when you're 36 years old. But after that, she said, "Drinking my vitamins this morning. Hope you are too. Praying for you today. God is your help," or maybe we're helping him. LOL. My mom's busting out LOL. Anyway, she says, "Love you." And then she gives me this verse, which has helped me this week. 2 Timothy 4:17. She said, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed." I get stuff like that from her every single Sunday. I got one from her this morning. And she's always showing me love. My dad is the best. Okay, my very first Sunday that I was a campus pastor here, the very first week that I was a campus pastor here, guys, I was scared to death. I had never preached a message in my life, and now I'm in charge of the whole church. So I was in this space, in this building, looking at my computer, like hyperventilating, and my dad just kind of walks in out of nowhere, and he's like, "Hey, I just want to stop by." And he said, "I just want to tell you before you preach your very first message that God has prepared you for this. I believe in you. Lives are going to be changed because of the words you speak, and God has got you through this whole thing." That's what he said to me, and that's what helped me get on this stage for the very first week. That's the power of love, man. And to this day, sometimes when I'm standing on this front row before I stand up here, I repeat those words in my head. And so in so many ways, we are the culmination. We're the result of the love that's been shown to us and said to us throughout our life. And so just take a moment and just picture that person who's shown you love. That person who's given with a heart of love to you, who's spoken with love towards you. Think about that power that love has had over your life. Think about that. And if you're like, you know what, I don't have anybody like that. No one's ever shown me love, then Jesus is that person for you. Because you know what Jesus says when he sees you? He says, "I made you wonderfully. You are special just the way you are. I sang songs over you. I love you. You are forgiven. I see grace when I see you." That's what Jesus says when he sees you. So just think about that person and how Jesus has shown you love. And you know what? You know what my family and my friends need from me? You know what your family and your friends need from you? They need to be shown that kind of love. They need to be shown that kind of love. And guys, we can be that. We can be that in our relationships. We can be that in our marriages. We can be that in our friendships. We can be that in our family. We can be that in our community. And if you act like love acts, you'll start to feel like love feels. And if you act like love acts, that means you're giving with a heart of love and you're speaking with love. Okay, all of a sudden, relationships start to come back to life. And not only do relationships start to come back to life, butterflies start to come back to life. Because that's the power of love. Let me pray for you guys. Jesus, I'm so thankful for your love that you've shown me. It's overwhelming. And you show me love in so many ways, and you've put people strategically in my life to show me love. And I know that every person in this room has either experienced your love or experienced your love plus the love of others. And God, I just pray that you'll help remind us how powerful that love's been in our life. And I pray that you'll help us be that love in the lives of the people that we're in relationship with. If we can make that our relationship goal, if love is our relationship goal, then nothing else matters. Jesus, they will see you. Our lives will change. The relationships in us, around us will change. And God, I just pray that we will be loved by giving with a heart of love this week in our relationships, by speaking with love. And God, when it's easy to not do that and we don't feel the butterflies, I pray that you'll remind us that if we'll act like love acts, we'll start to feel like love feels. And Jesus, you are the ultimate example of love. And we just love you and thank you and are floored by that love. And so Jesus, help us to be as much of that love as we can be for others. And we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen.